Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord, and all of his hosts. Thank you all near and far for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints. Right here on this station, I'm your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife, Lady Mildred Townsend. And together we do bring to you the Moments of Inspiration Intercessory Prayer Ministry, a ministry that is especially formulated to empower God's people and to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. As I often said, the Bible says, if the good man of the house knew what hour the thief was coming, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up into. So that just means, brothers and sisters, that we've got to be about our Father's business. We've got to be, amen, make our calling and election sure to the things of the Lord. Praise be to God. Because time truly is of the essence. Time is running out, amen. And we, the body of Christ, have got to get to that place, amen, where God is pleased with what we are doing. Again, the Bible says this. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. And then the Lord is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And we're going to think that because we went through all of the isms and schisms, and we went through all the formalities of doing things, we're finding out in our walk with God, it's not enough to just go, amen, through the processes of a thing. This thing is compounded by where our hearts really are. And they're going to say, Lord, have we not opened up blind eyes in your name? Have we not unstopped deaf ears in your name? Have we not done many mighty and wonderful works in your name? And here is the tearjerker where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Think about that, because I want to help God's people understand the severity of where we genuinely are when it comes to serving God, but more importantly, when it comes to pleasing God. It is not enough to please the pastor. It's not enough to please the organization. It's not enough to please the denomination. Our modus operandi must be strictly upon pleasing the Lord. That's what it all boils down to, people of God. We've got to please the Lord. Think about that. And this is another thing that comes into mind. And I want this to play over in your mind and mind again. He said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and there will be few that find it. But he also said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there will be many that follow therein. I need you to do the spiritual mathematics to find out what category do you intend to be in. Because if you intend to be in that narrow way, trust me, you're not going to be popular. If you intend to be in that narrow way, you're not going to be liked. If you intend to be on that narrow road, you will not get pat on the back and rub shoulders with everybody and think that you're going to climb the staircase to heaven with preeminence. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, Jesus summed it up this way before I bring Lady Townsend on to pray and read scripture. Jesus said, you will be hated for my name's sake, but that's okay. Because it ain't about you, no way. It's about me. And since you are my representative, it's not you that they hate, but it's me inside of you. And if you can ever keep that in the forefront of your mind, you will never, ever again ascribe to the factitious words about character assassinators out there. Because as I've told you before, the only way a character gets assassinated is that they are an actor. Whenever they're getting ready to kill out a particular character, that's how they get rid of them off of that particular show. That actor has to go because their contract is up or they couldn't reach something. And so we as saints of God, we don't have character. You know what we have? We have the standard of Jesus Christ. On that note, Lady Townsend, come on with us. We thank and praise God for her. I'm going to ask her to come and share a scripture with us, and then we're going to go before the throne of grace in prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Coming out of the book of Psalms 15. Mm-hmm. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? who shall dwell in thy holy hill. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word of God. Amen. We thank you for everything that you've done for us.
Yes.
Everything that you're doing for us.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you for the moment in time.
Hallelujah.
Oh, truly, you are worthy to be praised.
Thank you,
we
Jesus.
We thank you today. We bless your holy name.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
God, look on those right now.
Oh,
they
yes.
They need a touch right now. God, everybody's going through something
thank
today.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes,
and we
Lord.
We know that you're able. And that's the thing about it, Lord God.
Yes,
regardless
Lord.
Of what come our way, we can look to you. Amen. We will always look to the author and finisher of our faith. God, we know that you are that and then some. And we just thank you today as you continue to help us day by day. God, we need you. We are codependent upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We would not be codependent upon this world because we know this world got so many views that is anti you.
Yes.
And God,
yes.
We just want to stay in your perfect will. Help us, God, to get to that place in you.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We can trust you regardless of what. Of what come our way, what we see, what we smell, what we taste each and every day.
Oh,
we
yes.
know that you're the one, God. And we don't have to look for another. We found the good thing, and that's you, Lord God. You
yes.
are everything. You are
oh,
everything
yes.
today. And we just bless you. And we pray for those that haven't got to that place, God, that, Lord, those that are troubling their mind, those that are leaving here, God, before time. Lord, so much is going on. But we still have to look to you, and we praise you in this day that you will continue to behold us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Again, if you've just tuned in, this is Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints right here on this station with your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend and Lady Mildred Townsend. If ever you are in the Pineville area, we would certainly love to invite you to come be our guest at 1400 College Drive, right in Pineville, 12 o'clock noon service. Amen. We just want to be a blessing to God's people, but more importantly, we want to be able to empower God's people so that we can be what God has designed us to be for the 21st century church. Because we do understand that he said there's a falling away that is going to take place, and we are in that particular time right now. There's a falling going away. Many people are walking away from the truth of the Word of God. And it's a sad day when saints get offended by the truth. When we get to the point where we are offended by the truth of God's word, then you know what that says? We have crossed the threshold of becoming lukewarm. Amen. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing in the sense that God wants to elevate our mentality so that we can be that church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish or any such thing. And no, we're not going to all see it the same way. We're not. It's a known fact that that's the carnal side of us that doesn't want to see things for the way that it really is or the way that God has deemed it for us to be. But we are living in a dispensation of time right now where there are a lot of people that are confused. They don't know what directions to take. They don't know how to decipher what the Word of God is saying in this end time. Too many people are being spoon-fed. It's time for us, the body of Christ, to get back to that place where the Holy Spirit wants us to do. But he said this. He said, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth and righteousness for the namesake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you've got to be willing to apply what he's given you. And you've got to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You understand? And now a lot of times we wait to become so sanctimonious on when we get to church, amen, on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever our church day is. But we have got to get to that place where we have that meaningful relationship with the Lord every day. Because if you don't, if I don't, we will not have what's needed more so than anything. And you know what that is? Somebody may say, oh, well, Bishop, I need $1 million. That's what I need more than anything. Or somebody may say, well, I need a Lexus. I need a Rolex watch. I need all of this. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going to be honest with you, and that's what we're going to talk about, the importance of having master discernment. Because without discernment, I'm here to tell you, your millions of dollars don't mean anything without master discernment. Listen, your health depends upon discernment. Good morning to everybody. Good morning to all my brothers and sisters out there. Amen. Discernment means everything. And if you and you know what, that's what Paul tried to emphasize to the people in his time, that that discernment and knowing about the things of God are essential in our walk with God. They are essential. There is no other way around being able to function accurately in the things of God. Now, you can go through the facade and the masquerade, as many people are doing, but Paul, through his scriptural writings and his letters, help us to understand. Even the beloved disciple Luke shared some very important information in the book of Acts, and this is the reason why I tell people all the time that it's important to have discernment, because we are in a dispensation of time to where as there are men out there dressed up like women, and you can't tell the difference. There are women dressed up like men. You can't tell the difference. It gets deeper. There are demons and devils that are occupying the mortal clay bodies of men and women. And without discernment, you are not going to know. But the beloved apostle wanted us to understand. This is why it is in the scriptures, so that we can understand what is more important. That's why the Bible says, a man's heart, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And the enemy is working overtime trying to get you to focus on material stuff. This is the reason why we're seeing so much sickness and disease and compromise in the body of Christ, because the enemy is working overtime to get you to think that when Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, you think that he's giving that to you from a materialistic perspective, when the truth of the matter is he's giving it to you from a discernment perspective. Because when you have discernment, you will understand that if God is my all in all, and if he's given me everything that pertains to life and godliness, I don't have to go running after anything. The heaven and the earth already belong to him. Amen. Amen. The heaven and the earth already belong to the Lord. So since the heaven and the earth already belong to him, then I don't have to go running after anything. Praise be to God. I don't have to go running after money. I don't have to go running after riches. I don't have to go running after all type of materialistic stuff. It already belongs to the Lord. And everything, even in the natural sense, whatever I have, my children have a right to it, no matter what it is. If there's food in my refrigerator, my children have access to that. Amen. If there's money that I have and they need, they have access to that. And that's what we've got to understand as children of God. So therefore, without proper discernment, the fake prophets and people of today, amen, are going around telling you that God's about to do this and God's about. Brothers and sisters, God has done everything already. The question is, do you understand it? I give the analogy again. You driving your car up and down that highway, and if your car gets a flat, you've got a jack, you've got a spare tire in there, you've got lug wrench. Now, the question is, do you know how to use what God has given you? And if you don't know how to use what God's given you, you're going to be stranded on the side of the highway waiting for somebody else to come and assist you. But I've seen some sisters out there, when that car break down, listen at me, they get out there, they jack that car up, they break those lugs, and they take that old tire off that has been blown out, and they swap that tire. Well, what's the matter, woman? Listen, ain't no sense in me waiting for somebody else to give me what I already got. And that's what we've got to understand. If God has given us discernment, can I be honest with you? I need discernment more than I need millions of dollars. I know y'all gonna get quiet on me. I need discernment, amen, more than I need a beautiful house. I know y'all gonna get quiet on me. I need discernment more than I need that ordained license. Look how you're getting quiet on me. I need the discernment of Jesus Christ more so than anything. And the enemy is working overtime to keep us from understanding that. But the word of God that we have today is gonna help bring us to a clearer understanding, because as I said before, when you see all the calamities that are going on, I know we give a lot of credence to the enemy and how he's working. But you know what? You need discernment, because, again, when the Apostle Paul was up there in Philippi, and the Bible says that they were going to the hour of prayer, Lady Townsend, there was a little girl that had a spirit of divination on her. soothsaying spirit, witchcraft. And the little girl, and this is the reason why you have to have discernment, because there are people around us saying all the right things, but it ain't governed by God. That's why you need to know. You need to know. You need to know so you don't become spiritually bamboozled. The little girl was going around when she saw Paul and the rest of the disciples. And the right thing about it is the enemy, and again, here we go. Here we go. The enemy gets mad because this is his favorite line right here. You can't be judging nobody. You can't be judging nobody. God is the only somebody can judge. Satan loved you that. You know why? Because he don't want to be exposed. And that goes for Bishop Townsend or anybody. If there is a demonic element that is trying to overtake me, God expose it. It needs to be exposed for my sake, not for the congregation's sake. Oh, no, because when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I've got to give an account. Congregation ain't going to be there. This is what we have to understand. The congregation is not going to be there. I have to give an account. So if there is something of any type of element other than godly, God, I need you to expose that to me. And he will to us first. The question is, will we listen? Lady Townsend, remember the little girl that had the spirit of divination on her?
Oh, yes.
The Bible says that when Paul went to the church, the temple, at the hour of prayer, the little divination woman said, these are men of the Most High God that have come to show us the way of salvation. And the Bible said, this she done many days. And then something happened. Something happened. Paul didn't have to go on a three-day fast. He didn't have to go on a consecration. When God has placed something down on the inside of you, and it is the magnitude of God's Holy Spirit, we have just got to learn to listen to what God's Spirit is saying to us. And the Bible says that she done this many days. And then Paul being grieved. Wait a minute. What's going on, Brother Paul? Well, I hear her jumping, I hear her shouting, I hear her speaking in tongue, I hear her prophesying, I hear her doing all of these things, but something just not sitting right in my spirit. What's wrong, Paul? Are you being judgmental? No. We're already judged. Well, then what's going on? Why are you feeling not so at ease about what's going on? Because there is an element other than a godly element working here. And you know what? Every believer is supposed to be that way when it comes to truth. And the Bible says Paul turned to the Spirit. See, the problem is we've been looking at this personal, and it's not personal. When we expose the elements of demonic activity, it's nothing personal. And yet those that are taking it personal are being greatly influenced by the enemy. That's the problem. The problem is, if God exposes wrong in Bishop Townsend's life, I am supposed to embrace that with thankfulness, because you know what the Bible says? Whom he loves, he does what? He chases.
Amen.
Huh? Now, if I get chastened and I start trying to make rebuttals about me being chastened, and I'm trying to glorify myself as to why I'm going through what I'm going through, then I've made a hypocritical prayer and decree. When I go back and quote the Psalms that David said, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit. And many times God is trying to renew the right spirit in us, huh? Through the rebuke and the chastisement of what God's word is telling us on how that we're supposed to operate in the things of God. 21st century church is time out for going along to get along. Our salvation is closer, the coming of the Lord, than what we first comprehended. But anyway, Paul said to the Spirit, come out of her. And when the Spirit obeyed, see, that's another thing. Why did that Spirit obey Paul? Why did he come out? Why did not he give Paul a lot of flack like we do today? Because, see, a lot of time what happened is we have become so church-oriented and we have become so denominationally oriented until we think that everything has got to go that way because that's what we see. But the Bible says that Paul merely said, come out of her. He didn't do a bunch of screaming like we do today, hollering and veins showing in his neck and waving towels around and pushing them in the stomach and this, that, and the other. You see, we have become too superfluous. in the things that we think are righteousness of God. But when we've got the anointing down on the inside, it don't take a bunch of screaming and hollering. It doesn't take that. When Peter went into the house of Tabitha that had died, he didn't do a bunch of screaming and hollering that says, I rebuke death in the name of Jesus. And you see, all of this theatrics we have learned in the church. And the Spirit of God is trying to bring us back to the simplicity of it. He simply said, Tabitha, arise. You see, brothers and sisters, but if we don't know, the enemy is working to throw a monkey wrench in our salvation. And many times that monkey wrench is to keep us subservient to those that don't know any better equally as well. I don't want you to be under me. I need you to be equal or more so astute than myself. Because I take great glory in learning from you equally as well. But when we get to the point when we think that because we've been preaching 30 and 40 years and we've got it to a T, that is a demonic element that has made its way into our life. Why do you think Nicodemus, who was so astute in his learning, made his way to Jesus by night? Because he needed to know more than what he thought he knew. And if you've not addressed that frame of mind, that I need to know more than what I thought I knew, and the only way that's going to happen, I've got to get around people who I believe know a little bit more than me. Because if all you hanging around is people that know less than you, then you're on an agenda. Look how y'all getting quiet on me again. If you're around people that only know less than you, and that's even in the congregation, because God will put people around us. He'll put other preachers. He'll put other pastors. He'll put other leaders around us that know more than us so that, you know what, we can ascribe to the same Jesus Christ like they are. Because there ain't no monopoly on the Holy Ghost. There ain't no monopoly on the teachings of God. It's how much we're willing to apply. And the Bible says when they saw that the hope of their gain was gone, now they wanted to assassinate, not Paul's character. They wanted to assassinate him because he was up under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had mandated for him to not go along, to get along. But Lady Townsend, we want to talk today about demons that are walking this earth today. We want to speak about that today. And I've shared this with a lot of my family and friends on Facebook, but I want to share it with my listening audience up here at KAYT too, because these are things that you may not know and may not be aware of. Lady Townsend, you got your Bible with you?
Yes.
2 Corinthians, chapter number 11. Because brothers and sisters, we need to know something. Something is going on. When the fallen angels that fell from grace, here's another thing. Here's another food for thought I got to help y'all on. When y'all be praying and saying, I bind every demon and send them back to hell. Listen to what you're saying. I'm trying to help you to understand something so that we get up out of this mind frame of religiosity. Because Satan takes great pride in our ignorance of just copycatting what we hear. And we say, Satan, I bind you up and I send you back to hell. Now, where is that in the scriptures at? You see, this is what happens when we become denominationally inclined. We repeat what we hear and there's no validity to it. Satan is not in hell. And the way we make it sound is though demons and devils can freely come and go as they please, so we send them back to hell and somehow we didn't shut the door and they get out and come back. Listen to how foolish that sounds. God is trying to show us a more excellent way and understanding. He has given us authority until the day comes where he takes Lucifer and his angels and all of them and takes death and hell and throws them all into the lake of fire. So instead of you trying to send demons and devils back to hell, you need to bind them and take authority, because the Bible says whatsoever you bind on earth is already bound. I've bound them up in heaven. You got to do your job down here. Listen to what I'm telling you. I've bound them up in heaven. When Lucifer tried to ascend his throne up there, what did I do? I bound him and cast him back down. And then when he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. But if you don't understand that, Praise be to God. Hadn't opened up the phone line yet, but maybe somebody desires prayer in a special way. Hello, caller. This is Moments of Inspiration. You on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yeah, Prophet Samson, you're doing a good job. This evangelist, Tony. Sometimes I say I send the devil to hell, but I'm not talking about hellfire. I'm talking about the address where he came from. Anytime he brings all kind of evil, I send it back to him, back to his address. So it depends on the way you use hell. Satan is not in hell. But I'm sending back to his address. Wherever he came from, I don't care. So that's why I said hell. But I don't mean hell in the sense of hellfire. Because he's not in hellfire yet. God bless you, my friend. Keep on preaching, okay? God bless you.
Thank you. As I said before, when it comes to the things of God, God has a mandate, time set, where he will send. And I have to share something, even what Brother Fasina said earlier. He says, I send it back to them. Well, first and foremost, I've got to say this. God never told us to send anything back. Witches and warlocks do that. The Bible tells us to cast down every vain imagination that seeks to exalt itself. It doesn't say send back. See, that's another thing. We didn't get into that frame of witchcraft because, you know, I tell them to return the sender. Every spell that came to me, I returned it back to. No, I don't return it back. I cast it down because I've been given authority over it. I put my feet on it. Satan is under my feet. Every witch, every warlock, every spell, every incantation, everything that they use, I take authority over it and I cast it down in the name of Jesus. I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. So if I've got power over him, I don't want to send it back. Can I be honest with you? I want God to save the witch if there's salvation for her. I want him to save the warlock if there's salvation for him. I want them to save. But what I want to get back to, there are demonic elements walking this earth. And Lucifer doesn't want you to know that. Because here's the thing about it. What you don't know and don't know how to use can hurt you. Years ago, we used to have them old-time jacks. And I'm talking about those that know what I'm talking about from the 50s and 60s. You had to stick the lug wrench breaker inside of this jack, and you had to jack it up. And if you didn't know how to use that jack properly, that thing would somehow back kick, and that thing would knock you out if you didn't know what you were doing. Same thing applies to the Word of God. We've got to know how to use the Word of God, and we need to know how to maximize it in a way that is efficient. Because everything that God gave us, the Holy Spirit has already got the knowledge to it. But a lot of time we're spending more time at the feet of people than at the feet of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why we're only getting what they have to give. I often tell the saints of God, and I love God's people more than anything. And there's nothing that gives me greater joy than standing in the presence of God and being service to his people. But I must tell people that I refuse to allow you, as me being a pastor, to be dependent upon me. I need you to be dependent on Jesus Christ and me as his servant. I'm in his vineyard. I own nothing when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am just a wayfaring man going through this life. This world ain't my home. I'm employed by Jesus. And my benefits are given through the Holy Spirit. And that's what I rely upon. Lady Townsend, you got this scripture because I want to help God's people understand something.
What scripture, Bishop?
11th chapter of Corinthians. Starting at verse 2 Corinthians.
Oh.
Starting at verse number 12, because I need God's people to understand this. We are walking in the midst of certain things. And as I said before, there are men out here that can dress up like women, and you don't even know who they are.
What verse?
I want you to start at verse number 12 and read down to verse number 15.
Okay. And it reads as this, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. But such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed and to an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if its ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their word.
Praise God. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that? So Satan ain't in hell. He's walking this earth. And because he's walking this earth, more than millions of dollars, more than riches, more than glory, more than fame, you need the discernment of Jesus Christ, even as Paul exemplified when he went to the temple and the little damsel met him. But the problem is, you so caught up in the jumping and the shouting and the speaking of tongues, you become emotionally stimulated. The Bible says that your girl done this many days, but then Paul got grieved in his spirit. I don't care if they're a well-noted preacher. I don't care how well-known they are. If something is of a demonic element and it's not really of God, you're going to get grieved. I didn't say suspicious. There's a difference in getting suspicious. People get suspicious all the time. Somebody right now is suspicious because they think that I'm personally talking about them. That's what suspicion does. It makes you get paranoid. But Paul did not concern himself with the paranoidism of what people thought. He saw the spiritual element that was operating. Did Jesus say this? Jesus said this word. He said, "Have not I chosen 12 of you? And one of you is a devil." And I'm quite sure it rose suspicion in the minds of his other apostles equally as well, to the degree as even at the Last Supper, when he sat around with his entourage and they were all sitting down, breaking the bread and drinking of the blessed cup, he said these words. He said, "One of you shall betray me." And when he said those words, they one by one, because they didn't have discernment. Is it me, Lord? Is it me? Is it me? And even though the Bible doesn't directly tell us that Judas asked the question, but one by one. But as I said before, the enemy doesn't want to be exposed in any fashion form in our life. If he gets a foothold any kind of way, he doesn't want to be exposed. He wants us to justify why we're doing what we're doing. But I'm here to tell you, I love Paul because Paul is the type of preacher that does not go along to get along. As a matter of fact, when Paul saw Peter, Lady Townsend, eating some pork chops and pig feet, and saw him over there with the other Jews, and they was eating all kind of swine. And then when the other sanctimonious Jews came, he withdrew himself. Is that like, you know, hey, y'all shouldn't be doing that. See, we can fool people. And that's basically, this is what denominational structurization causes us to do, to want to fool people, especially those right. that are less astute and less learned. Because I'm here to tell you, a little child does not know how detrimental a pedophile is, because you know what? They've not yet learned how to discern. Why do you think he often said many times, "Be not children in your understanding"? And now it's okay. Yes. It's okay to be like childlike in your faith, but your understanding cannot be childlike, because when your understanding is like childlike, you can be had. You can be had, taken advantage of. So the most important thing is that, you know what? We need discernment. The Bible just said Lucifer has transformed himself as an angel of light. He's walking down on this earth. Not only him, his demons are walking down here as preachers, as bishops, as apostles, as pastors, and yet many of us do not have the spiritual discernment to understand truly who is who. But beloved people of God, it is now time for you to understand, because the closer we come to the coming of the Lord, there will be much more demonic activity happening like never before. How else could a man take a little child, rape them, kill them, and cut their little body pieces up, except they are shape-shifting demons that are walking this earth? When the demons fell, when they fell and came back to this earth, they still are on assignment for Lucifer. They have not been put in hell yet, and you need the discernment to understand that. Just because something is saying Jesus, just because something is jumping and shouting and speaking in tongues, God is trying to give us revelation knowledge to understand that more than money, you need discernment. More than a fine house, you need discernment. More than a car, you need discernment. Come on, help me out, Lady Townsend.
Amen. And the thing about it, Bishop, when you know you have discernment, you know the money, they cannot put nothing over on you because your spirit has been in the presence of God, and you are constantly in his presence, meaning that, you know, you're seeking him more so than anything, so that, hey, if that's different from where your, you know, your relationship with the Lord, that lets you know right there something is going on. And
that's
when you were saying, like, these demons down here doing so many things, I was thinking about this young lady that she was an heiress to a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, this young man just killed her. She was jogging somewhere in Memphis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she was jogging. He just got her and killed her and whatever he did to her, you know. And it just let me know that, yes, these people are down here. These are demons. You know, they are, like you say, shapeshifters. They have done these things that is just horrific. And for people to just go along and don't have any discernment, you know, it could cost you. That's why you got to seek God. Amen. You've got to seek the Lord because they're amongst us. Praise God. And they've shifted. And like the word said, the enemy has transformed himself as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
He's not one, but he's fooling people without discernment.
That's right.
You would think that he's one. And that's what we need more so than anything. You said it is just right.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have that discernment going this way because if it pays us, it could cost us if we don't, Bishop, and it could cost us something. It could cost us our soul. Praise God. Because a lot of time, you know, people ain't saved yet and they halfway, they're straddling the fence. And you know, anything that goes or sound good, you go after it. But if you got the discernment, praise God, you'll say, it may look good, it may sound good, but this is not God. Praise God.
Yeah. And that's the thing that we've got to come to. We've got to come to that thing and understanding, amen, God just wants us to be prepared. So what we're going to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, is going to take a break and share some announcements with God's people around here. As a matter of fact, got a few here that I'd like to share before I hit the promos. In conjunction with New Jerusalem Baptist Church, located 708 University Street in Alexandria, they're cordially inviting all of the brothers and sisters in Christ to the pastor and wife, Eugene and Lady Stevenson's 8-year appreciation day. This is going to be held Sunday, September the 25th at 3 o'clock p.m. Special guest is going to be Pastor Chadwick Godfrey of the Magnolia Baptist Church family. And for more information, contact numbers are 318-445-8355 or 318-613-6175. And certainly you don't want to forget about the 146th-year church anniversary with Senior Pastor Danny D. Purnell Jr. and First Lady Purnell. This will take place Sunday, September the 18th at 3:30 p.m. They're going to be celebrating God's church, God's people, and God's agenda. Guest speaker is going to be Reverend T. Leon Preston II of the Yale Street Baptist Church of Houston, Texas. The church is located 521 Baptist Street in Pineville, Louisiana. That's the Bright Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church where Pastor Danny D. Purnell Jr. serves as senior pastor. Okay. So on that note, I got some more things I'd like to share with you. Don't touch that dial. This is Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints. We will be right back, opening up that phone line right after this. Along with my beautiful wife of 30 years, none other than in the personal.
KAYT, KQJO Live.
Hey, everybody, listen up. I have a very special and very important announcement to make. Meet me, John Bradshaw, Bradcom Entertainment, this Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. That's 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. This Saturday, I'll be selling tickets to the world's greatest gospel concert that will be held this Sunday at the Zion Hill Church Family right there in Pineville, Louisiana. Tickets are $35 for VIP. The VIP gets you into the concert 30 minutes early. That's right. You don't have to wait in line. Come purchase your VIP tickets, and general admission is just $25. Come out and get your tickets. If you didn't have a chance to get the tickets, you still have an opportunity to get them this Saturday. Meet me, John Bradshaw, from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. I'll be selling tickets to the world's greatest gospel concert featuring the Canton Spirituals, C.C. Williams and the Spiritual QCs, Bishop Neil Robeson. General admission, $25, VIP, $35. I'll see you this Saturday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. at the Zion Hill Church family. Thank you, and God bless you.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellyServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
Red Com Entertainment and Platinum Entertainment presents the world's greatest gospel concert, starring the Canton Spirituals. That's right, the Canton Spirituals. Also, C.C. Williams and the Spiritual QCs. Keeping the legacy alive, yes, that's the son of the great Lee Williams. And special guest, Neil Roberson. You don't want to miss this one. Live in Pineville at Zion Hill Church Family, Sunday, September 11th. For ticket information, 901-707-1029. Or Red Com Entertainment. The Canton Spirituals, C.C. Williams and the Spiritual QCs, and also special guest Bishop Neil Roberson. Special upfront seats are available, 318-792-6736. Performing live in Pineville at Zion Hill Church Family, Sunday, September 11th, the Canton Spirituals, C.C. Williams and the Spiritual QCs, and also special guest Bishop Neil Roberson. It's time to praise. Sponsored by Snatch Bay Aesthetics.
Advance tickets available at the Zion Hill Church, 602 Hunter Street, 318-704-6900, or Styles by Sterling, 2415 South MacArthur Drive, 225-329-7508. Another proud sponsor of this station.
And we're back. This is Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on this station with Bishop Kenny Townsend and my beautiful wife of 36-plus years, none other than in the person of...
Amen. Lady Mildred.
Hey, listen, again, we want to empower God's people. That's the whole purpose of this broadcast, is to empower God's people so that we can be that church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. And it is time for the church to come collectively together in the things of God to empower God's people. Because, as I said before, there came a time in Moses' life where he got a little weak. And he needed Joshua and Caleb to hold his hands up in battle. You see, but the reason why we need discernment, because we have to be able to understand that in our younger mind frame, Lady Townsend, we were foolish. We, you know, no wonder the reason why Solomon said in many cases, youth is vanity. Because before we came to the Lord, we did a lot of stupid and foolish things. We expended a lot of useful energy in the name of promiscuity. We did a lot of stupid things. If we could turn back the hands of time. Again, we probably would and not do a lot of things over again. But in many cases, the damage is already done. This piece of clay, this mortal pieces of clay, we have abused it in so many cases until we filled it with obesity. We filled it with diabetes. We filled it with glaucoma. We filled it, amen, with artery disease and all type of things that we have done. And then we turn around and want God to miraculously fix it when he's given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. But nevertheless, I want to let God's people know, listen, you're going to need to know. You're going to need to know, because there are, just as the Bible said this, get this. The Bible says through the mouth of Paul, he said, be careful how you entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. What does that mean, beloved man of God? That means that people are walking up to you saying, hey, good morning. And you think that they're just a mere humanoid being when in fact of the matter is they are a heavenly creature on assignment down here on this earth. And I've just shared with you that just as God has heavenly creatures here on assignment, Lucifer has creatures here on assignment that are saying, praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hey, man of God, how are you? As I told you before, the enemy doesn't want to be exposed. And when the enemy feels it's like he's exposed, he wants to fit in. But see, discernment, remember this, discernment makes him stick out like a sore thumb. He knows he sticks out like a sore thumb, but if you don't address the issue of him sticking out like a sore thumb, that's the reason why Paul did not take anything personally with that damsel. She was just a young girl, watch this, being used by the enemy. And the people that were taking advantage of her were making gain off of that ability, that gift that God gave her that was meant to be used for God. And this is what's going on. Many people who we think are prophetic are sitting up under familiar spirits that have taken hold to them. Because in their quest to want to be so prophetic and to be so deep in the things of God. See, you do know what a familiar spirit is, don't you? A familiar spirit is nothing more than a person like in a seance, to where is they allow a demonic spirit counterfeiting like your Uncle Fred, counterfeiting like your Aunt Bessie, and tell you things that only Aunt Bessie knew. Spirits are not restricted to time or space. They can go back in time. They can go forward or whatever the case may be, because time is an illusion, but you don't know that. You don't understand that. So these demonic elements can go backwards and forward. They can tell you things. And you think that everything is perfect. And so you want to be just like Jesus. Come see this prophet that told me everything. Told me everything. Couldn't nobody have known that? Well, familiar spirits know it. You just don't know it. But in any event, Lady Townsend, we want to empower God's people. Going to open up the phone line. 318-484-2500 is the number to call if you'd like to call in for prayer. If you'd like to call in concerning what you've heard. Again, it's about empowering you. This is what, can I be honest with you? If we can't empower God's people with truth, we become nothing more than a social group. We become nothing more than a group of people just hyping them up Sunday after Sunday or Saturday after Saturday, but not preparing them how to walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus, but more importantly, act like Jesus.
Amen. And that's the whole thing, Bishop, today. You know, many people just want, it's during the social media era, people just want something to tickle them to the next high they get. Amen. Mm. But God won't change. He wants you to change. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea, hearing what God is saying to, you know, and acting on it, wanting to be like him.
That's right.
You know, and say, Lord, I've come short, but now, God, thank you for giving me another chance to get it right. And this time, Lord, I want you, and I won't let you go. Amen. I will stay in your word. I will stay in the presence of you. Praise the Lord. And that's what God won't change. Amen. Because, like I said, in the social media era, you know, people just, you know, they don't want to be entertained. Amen. They just want to have something that the tip of their ear, amen, to make them feel good for that moment. And they never get the truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. They never receive the truth. Amen. The truth has been spoken all the time. Praise the Lord. This truth is right in the word of God.
That's right.
But they don't want that. Praise God.
Well, you know what? We have that responsibility to share truth regardless. Jesus shared truth. A lot of people didn't understand it. But more importantly, the people that got offended by his truth were those that sought to keep the people captivated as to be subservient under them. And I think that that's what we've got to get back to. We've got to get back to empowering people, not just hyping them up. But this is what Paul said. And I love how Paul said it, because it should be the epitome of who we are on every area of our life. He said, I came not to you with enticing words and excellency of speech and of man's wisdom, But he said, I came in power and demonstration. Something that's lacking today in the church, because if power and demonstration were in the church the way it's supposed to be, we would not see all of the dying. We wouldn't see all of the sickness and disease if power and demonstration were operating inside of the church. But what we're seeing is a lot of theatrical entertainment. Our blind eyes being opened the way that they used to. Our deaf ears being unstopped the way that they used to. Our cancers dropping off of people like they used to. Well, the enemy has shut a lot of people down and says, well, you know what, Bishop, we're not in that era now. Then if we're not in that era, then you need to get another book, because you're still preaching from the same book that created that era.
All right, now.
Something is wrong. You're still preaching from the same book that created that era, and yet Lucifer has tricked you into thinking that we are no longer in that era. Something is wrong, and this is the reason why we have to have master discernment to understand where we are. Satan has transformed himself as an angel of light. Don't take that lightly. For such are false apostles. Listen at this. For such are false apostles. Why do you think he said that? Just to make you feel good? Oh, he just hating on us other apostles. No, he's not hating on anything. He's making you aware of what is out there. He said false apostles transforming themselves into what? Deceitful workers. How can we break that down to the lowest common denominator? That would be equivalent to them using you to expeditiously get to where they're trying to go to at your expense. Did I say it too fast? Expeditiously using you to get to where they're trying to get to at your expense. So they've transformed themselves into this apostle. Why? Because they think that the word apostle gives them a preeminence over other people. But please don't be miscombobulated in your understanding. When Jesus sent out 70 disciples, and when he sent those 70 disciples out, they came back to him saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. He did not ordain them apostles. He did not ordain them anything. He just sent them out to work. And I think that what has happened is that we've got so caught up in the facade and masquerade of having some type of ecclesiastical presentational title attached to us. That's what empowers us. I assure you it doesn't. Those men called seven sons of Sceva had titles attached to them as master exorcist. And when they went up to this man that had demons inside of them, they too thought because that they had associated themselves, they had transformed themselves into so-called men of God. But see, Satan knows the truth. And this is what we need to understand. Satan knows the truth. They went up to that man, Lady Townsend, and they said, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And then the demon said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? And in many cases, this is happening to us in the body of Christ. I know y'all finna get upset with me. I know y'all finna get upset with me. But many times that happened to us in the body of Christ. We're trying to rebuke demons and devils. We're trying to cast out this and cast out that. And you know what that devil is saying to us too? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? You trying to cast out cancer. Who are you? You trying to cast out diabetes. Who are you? You trying to cast out glaucoma. Who are you? Who are you? Jesus, I know. That's why we got to be real.
That's right.
That's why we can't be fictitious. That's why we can't be jealous-hearted and always thinking there's somebody out to get us. Yes, there are demons out here. And you know what? When Paul was confronted one, he addressed the issue. It was the people that didn't want to expose said about judging. And when people feel that they're being exposed, they're going to say you're judging. Case in point. But I tell you what. If judging me causes me to be exposed, then let me be exposed so that I can stand true to the scripture that says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Because your word said, whom you love, you chasten. And your word also said that except I humble myself as a little child, that I could no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So therefore, when I'm being chastened, by the goodness of God through his word or through a preacher or whatever the case may be. And even though I be a preacher and another preacher is using the word to chastise me, watch this, not directly, but there's a saying that goes like this. If you throw a rock into a pack of dogs and it holler, ow, you know you hit one. You just don't know which one you hit.
Amen.
And you know what? This word going to hit many of us. And many times we going to say ouch because we can't say amen. And that's okay.
Amen.
That's okay. It's okay to say ouch when you can't say amen. But you know what? When you throw a rock again at that next pack, I won't be in that pack. I'll be done moved on. I'll be done got myself in a much more better situation to where that won't happen no again. Because whom the Lord love, he chastised. That's why he whoops us. And it's love. That's why he beat the people out of the temple that were turning it into a den of thieves, because he loved them. He wasn't judging them. He loved them. I'm not judging you. I love you. That's right. Even those that do me wrong, I love you, but I'm going to address the wrong that you're doing because you don't want to be exposed, but you're going to be exposed. And you know what? I do, too, if I'm doing evil towards somebody. I should be exposed, too. Didn't get a chance to open up that phone line today, Lady Townsend. Come on, tell us something.
Hey, man, Bishop, it was needed and it was necessary. And we thank God for, you know, the word of God that went forth. Amen. Every saint, you know, a person that truly loves God.
Yes.
Amen. Appreciate God's word. It's not going to feel good all the time, but it's good for me.
That's right.
Amen. It's good for me.
That's right.
Praise God. And when there's correction or, you know, we should welcome that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we, you know, you can cry out, Lord, create in me a clean heart.
Yes.
And renew the right spirit in me.
Yes.
Amen. We got to always, amen, examine ourselves. The Bible let us know. Let a man, woman, whoever you are, examine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And that's what God is looking for in this in time.
Yes.
Amen. The ones that have made up their mind to live for the Lord, to do the work of God. Amen. And like you said, you love God's people, but that's, we need voices to show people the wrong and to come up, not criticizing and all of that like that, but God said he's coming back for his church without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
That's right.
Amen. This thing is truly, we have to get it right. Amen.
I agree with you. I agree with you. We've got to get it right, and we've got to be willing to get it right. We can't be so, as I said, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. But the truth be told, we've got to address the issue of word of God, for it is. The cliches and the sayings and the misunderstandings are keeping us at a stalemate. And this is why we find ourselves majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors, because, amen, we're letting the superficial things of this life restrict us from the true spiritual essence as to which God is trying to work through us according to the power that worketh in us. It can, as I said before, you can have everything you need to work with, but if you don't know how to use what you got, it's not going to do you any good. So on that note, Lady Townsend, we got about a minute or so left. Would you like to close us out in a word of prayer?
Yes. Father, we thank you. We thank you for even giving us the ability each and every Saturday to come. And Lord, you know, like Bishop said, we love God's people. We want
yes.
to see the best in people. We want to see everybody, you know, saved. That you came that all will be saved. But
yes.
you know, you call us to repentance, but everybody's not going to be saved because they make up their own mind. And,
yes.
they, you know, they choose not to be.
Thank
but
you, we're Jesus.
To still pray and to pray, God, that you would prick their heart before it's too late. Amen. We don't want to see nobody lost. God
yes.
is just. Oh, God, and they're leaving here in droves.
Yes.
They're leaving here in droves, God. Hallelujah. And many of them don't even know Jesus, and yet you hear the family saying, rest in peace.
Yes.
There's no rest if you didn't make Jesus
yes,
the Lord, Lord of your life before you left here.
Lord
so, Lord,
Jesus.
Help us to reach out to a dying world.
Yes,
Lord, help us to reach out and touch their lives, Lord God.
Yes,
in
Father.
The name of Jesus before it's too late. God, we love you. We praise you. Help us all, God, for we need you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Listen, join us at 1400 College Drive tomorrow in Pineville, Louisiana. All seats are absolutely free. All denominations are welcome. All genders are welcome. Amen. And I guarantee you, you may come one way, but you're going to leave out empowered, having knowledge and understanding as to how you now can be effectively functioning in the things of the Lord. God bless you. Catch you next time in Jesus' name. We know the